2 hours left. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Sir!
We got phone calls as we're talking about a variety of topics today. 339-1140 is the local number, and 800-920-1140. Let's get the third hour rolling with David. Hello, David. How are you?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. How are you guys doing?
What's up?
Well, you know, I just wanted to see what you guys thought of the very young football season. There's a couple of surprises. First of all, I think the Giants, to me, are the biggest disappointment I have seen. Eli looks so bad and so off target. They're looking like a 4-12 team right now. The Niners are being the Niners. I don't know if they're going to score a touchdown tonight or not. I don't know. But there's a couple surprises. I think Detroit looks really good. I think Minnesota had some opportunities, but I think Pittsburgh looks good. And, of course, Raiders look good, but I'm real susceptible that they allowed the Jets to score 20. Let's see what you guys think about that.
You know what? When you talk about the Lions, I agree with you. I like what I've seen out of the Lions, but I will say this. They beat the Cardinals. Cardinals aren't that good, and obviously you mentioned the Giants. So I think a little bit is still out there to be seen about what they might be able to do. Now, this week, the Lions face the Falcons. Now, if they make a really good game out of this, or if they win, David, I will be impressed. I like what I see, but I think it got to take a little time.
I don't think Eli Manning's the problem with the Giants. I think the problem with the Giants is their offensive line. That's the problem with the Giants. Eli Manning is not the issue with the Giants.
It's just his passing seems to be off. He's either too high or he's behind the receivers.
He's completed 51 of 70 passes, which is 73%, which would be the highest percentage of any of his multi-year careers in the NFL. Think about that. He's 51 for 70, okay? 73% passing. 73%.
And David, I will say this. Grant talked about this yesterday, and I would have to agree with him. The defenses are vastly superior to the offenses at the beginning of the season. I think that we're seeing this with quite a few teams. We're seeing it with the Seahawks as well. Last year, the Seahawks scored like 15 points in two games, the same this year. And then by week 3 and 4, all of a sudden things get going. Now, that's not to say that's what's going to happen, but these defenses are, in the preseason, they're getting out there and they're playing. The offense is not so much. So yep. Maybe 2 more weeks, and then we'll really know who's who and what's what.
Yeah, and how many drops did he have on just Monday night alone from Brandon Marshall, from Odell Beckham, from the rookie Ingram. I mean, so listen, I'm not saying he's on a Pro Bowl pace, but his completion percentage this year is like he's got the it's only two games, but he's at a clip that it would be by far the highest of his career.
Hey, David, who's your team?
Oh, I'm a lifelong 49er fan since Brody was the quarterback.
Okay. What you got happening tonight? You think your guys get it done versus the Rams?
No, I do not think we're going to beat the Rams. I think the Rams have shown a little too much on offense. I am not impressed with our offense at all. Our defense is looking pretty good, though. It really is. I think our defense is going to keep us in games, but our offense, if the Rams don't show up for the first half, we may score 14 points.
Hey, you know what, David? That speaks to my point. You're talking about the defense of the 49ers and the offense. Now, as far as the players go, yeah, maybe Shanahan doesn't have his players, but seeing that he is an offensive coach, it's going to take a little while for them to get clicking once he gets the type of personnel that he wants and maybe begin to start to turn that thing around for you.
I am liking what they're doing as far as hiring John Lynch. I like that hire. I like Shanahan. I do think the quarterback draft coming out of college this year is going to be about as heavy as it's been in many a year. So I think it's looking much better for the Niners on the long run.
All right.
No doubt.
Thanks,
David.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's get to Roy. Hello, Roy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Roy?
I was really surprised today when I saw the findings that Aaron Hernandez has CTE.
Severe CTE.
Yeah, not only CTE, Roy, stage 3, I believe Grant said of 4.
If this is not a shot across the bow of the NFL, of colleges, high schools, but more importantly, parents, I don't know what is. The only thing that's probably going to help this situation is technology. And it's obvious technology has not caught up to helping stop what's going on. You know, as a parent of two boys, you know, I was really leaning far against my boys playing football, tackle football. But now with this, that's too much. Until they can show that they've got helmets that can, you know, do something to make things better, how can we as parents put our kids on the field?
You know, Roy, you say something about technology, but I really don't think there's a solution to technology for a helmet. I think that because ultimately, say you protect the head as well as you can, but they're even – because what's happening is they're getting a false sense of security, so they're hitting with their head. What's going to happen then is it's going to go to neck injuries because there's nothing to protect the neck. Grant and I were talking earlier about maybe looking more towards what you see in rugby with taking away a face mask, taking away things so that they don't feel invincible. They learn how to tackle properly and then allow football to still be a physical sport, but in a different way. So the invincibility isn't the thing that you're cloaked behind.
Well, they're doing a much better job of teaching tackling. You're seeing them, people not leading with their heads near as much. But we had a death on the football field from a neck injury.
Yeah.
How are you going to stop that?
That's my point. I don't think that there is – if you're going to hit with your head, your neck is going to be the next thing that suffers if you're protecting your head. Because normally, Grant said, his dad played, and they had leather helmets, no face masks. Well, that's going to make you wisen up, so you're not going to use your head. You're going to tackle with your body. But if you have a helmet on, you lead with your head, yeah, your head might be semi-protected. It's something that's going to happen to you in years to come, but your neck isn't going to get protected at all right away.
Well, the other part of this, too, is how can boxing not, you know, have huge CTE effects? Or mixed martial arts.
I think they do.
These guys are getting hit without protection.
Hey, the reality is that every athlete, especially in an individual sport like boxing, you know, I don't think you need to be told what the inherent risk is of getting hit in the head repeatedly. I think that, you know, you should know that. I don't think that that's like a mystery to anybody.
Now, I will say this, Roy and Grant, is the problem is a little bit what you spoke to, Roy, the fact that as children – They don't understand the inherent risk. So as parents, we need to make them understand or start them later so it's at a point where you understand what you're getting involved in because, you know, I have no cartilage in my wrist and different things. But I understood what I was going to when I'm shooting a million shots and all the repetitions, whereas kids, when you're real young and CTE and different things, they might not know.
Do you agree that they shouldn't start playing tackle football until high school?
I've changed my mind on that. You know, I think 13 and above.
That sounds like about a good age because that's the age where I think rationally the conversation can begin to be had. You can teach them proper fundamentals and make sure that they're tackling properly in those type
of
things.
You know, when
I
went to junior high school, which in New York was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, I was not allowed to play football in junior high school until I was 13. So when I was in 7th grade, I was 12. I couldn't try out for the football team. You had to be 13.
Wow.
Well, I played tackle football from 5th grade up until my senior year of high school. So, you know, out here, you know, it started basically when you were 12.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I thought it was very sobering today, and I hope everybody takes a real hard look at this. And the other thing that I really hope for that they really try to do is they need to get an earlier test.
Well, you know,
to wait until, you know.
You got to wait till death because.
You know, to test for it.
Yes.
Boy, that is, and I know they're working on it. Absolutely. You know, that the project that's in Boston has done great work.
Right.
And I think it'll get done, but boy, is it needed.
No doubt.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, guys. It's Anthony from the track. Do you remember me?
Oh,
Anthony,
yeah.
What's happening?
What's going on? Hey, I just been watching the NFL season and just have a little take I wanted to share with you guys. Do In your opinion, would you say that the Raiders are the biggest threat to the Patriots to win the AFC if they remain healthy?
Or no.
Do you think another team?
I think Denver is, Kansas City. I think that
the AFC West period.
Yeah, the AFC West period. I think you always
You think the Raiders are the strongest team in the AFC West?
I personally don't. I said that before the season began.
And even with the defense of the Raiders looking a little bit better.
They haven't played anybody. That's number one. And number two, Lincoln Kennedy came on the show yesterday, and I think he said this perfectly. The Raiders have not proven in Derek Carr's young career that he can beat Kansas City. He's 1-5 against the Chiefs. And Lincoln said, and I think he made a very good point, he considers the Chiefs the favorite until the Raiders prove they can beat them.
Well, then that's going to be two major matchups this season.
Well, you have two major matchups with Denver, too. I don't know if you've watched them play this year. They look really good.
And you know what, Anthony?
They look a lot better than I thought they would, for sure.
With the safety in Kansas City going out.
Yeah, Eric Berry
going out. And then you look at the Raiders' inability to beat Kansas City. That leaves the Broncos, who have stepped in. Great defense, championship level. And if Simeon can continue to play the way that he plays, Anthony, you probably have to put Denver right up in that top spot.
Man, that's got to be one of the best divisions in football. Yeah, that's a tough division.
No doubt. I would say the best at this particular time, Ant.
I agree. Well, you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
You got it, man. Thank you.
All right, Sal is next. Welcome, Sal.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Nice to hear you guys. First comment to Anthony. The Raiders are overrated as much as they were underrated last year. I think we got to wait and see and wait for that. That story still needs to play itself out before we give them a trophy. About the football, I think going back to leather helmets and teaching correct tackling and the H13 idea, I think that's an excellent idea. I didn't let my sons play tackle football. And another thing is, you can put a house around somebody's head, but it's not going to protect the brain from hitting the inside of the skull. There's a space there. So we're not meant to be pounding our head up against anything hard repeatedly. A couple times maybe, but not repeatedly. So all sports and all adults need to be aware of young people's futures, and it's up to us really to lead by example. So you guys are doing a great job. Love you guys.
Thank you, Sal. Great call.
The reality is football will never be the way it was.
No.
Okay? And when I mean the way it was, I'm talking about 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, the way the game was played. That's never happening again. And
yeah.
if that keeps you away from the game, then so be it. You have to make that decision. Football is never going to be played the way it was played with the Ronnie Lott era and the Steel Curtain defense. And, you know, I can go the Raiders with, you know, George Atkinson, and I can go right on Jack Tatum. The games, that's never coming back.
No.
So if that's what fuels you, well, it's not coming back.
No, we're going to get farther and farther away from that when Ronnie Lott has the option to not play because he's got to do something to his finger or chop off the end of it, and he chooses, look, I want to play. Those are the type of things, Grant, that happened when the knowledge hadn't caught up. When you talk about science and a lot of different things, now people are understanding the repercussions of a lot of this. And you said it earlier, the leather helmets, no face masks, different things like that. It's something that has to get looked into, because when you look on the screen and on the field, you see how fast these guys are moving. And Sal made a great point. It's not what you put around your head. It's the fact that when your head stops, your brain does not.
That's correct.
It pounds into the back or the front of your skull, and then that's when you get problems.
It's only going to get more and more attention. And people are going to have more and more trepidation, because with each passing month and year, there's going to be more and more data, more and more scientific research, which is basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to learn what we know now. We're going to look back 5 years from now and go, man, we really thought we knew what we were talking about in 2017. And 5 years from now, we're going to look back and go, we didn't know what the hell we were talking about in 2017.
It's similar to what you said when we were talking about Rudy tearing his Achilles tendon.
Think about that.
Yeah, and you said, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
This, it would have took him maybe 3 more months than it's took him, because technology keeps improving so fast. Will we be able to solve the problem? I doubt it. But if you were to learn more of the fundamentals and take your body more into consideration, as opposed to feeling like you can do anything and hit anything, maybe we'll start to solve this problem.
All right. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, you know, you can look at this however you want, okay? But we are, football is going to become, it's not going to become extinct, but
different.
It's going to be different.
I would agree with that, Grant. It's you know, a lot of people criticize when you talk about your Ronnie Lotts and different people. It's not played the way that it used to be played. No, it's not, and that's not coming back.
It's not coming back.
Yeah, those were some absolutely violent hits. And, you know, we've talked to players that have played in the past, and it's going to be a different game. And that's, they will figure out a way to continue to monetize it, obviously. But it's not going to be the same.
I'm not so sure that the NBA is ever going to be the way it used to be.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
Because of the way the game's being played on the secondary and AAU level, with no one playing with their back to the basket, I wonder if those days are gone forever.
That's a good point, Grant. I mean, unless you find somebody who learns to do both, and then they can, you know. But that's, you make a valuable point, and we've talked about this off air and on air. When you want to change, that's where you start at, Grant. You got to start with youth coaches teaching proper fundamentals and those type of things, and then you bring those up through the ranks. And by the time they reach that top shelf, now that player who is fundamentally correct, all the young players are going to look at him and they're going to emulate him, as opposed to emulating someone who's not doing it correctly.
All right, let's get to Jim. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. I agree 100% with Doug. I think that they've even got to look at their practices, or when they go and they back off like 10 feet and go running head-on into the sled, that's throwing the brain around, too. That can't be conducive.
You know, Jim, Grant said something. This was, I don't know if you remember talking about this, Grant, because you played offensive line, defensive line. But when the ball is snapped, and offense and defensive lines collide, they're smacking each other in the helmet.
Yeah.
And those are little tiny taps, but they're big in the big scheme of things, because think about it. How many times do you hike? How many times do you go through those repetitions? Yep. And the higher the level, the harder the smack. And those things add up.
It's also true that, you know, when the game started, we didn't know anything about this. It was a Coliseum sport. We wanted to see people get knocked out. And so it just got to change, knowing that what we know now.
It's changing. It's changing every day. Thank you very much for the call. We move along to Rudy. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Rudy.
Hey, how you doing, Grant and Doug?
Hello, Rudy.
I just want to say you guys are doing an excellent job, man. I'm not even a Kings fan, but kind of excited for your guys' season. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate
it. Absolutely, man. You guys are awesome. But hey, I just wanted to get real quick to something kind of touched home with me and kind of little vulnerable when I talk about this, but I've coached for the junior leagues for Sutter Huskies for years, and my son, he started when he was 5 years old, and as I've noticed, the leagues have gotten younger and younger and younger, and you know, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago now that my son took a hit in the game. He was having a monster game. Basically, it looked like a retaliation after he sacked the quarterback, that someone came and ear-holed him, and we got the result. Well, nothing went on. My son got up. He went out one play, got right back in the game, went and tore the quarterback's head off.
How old was he during this game?
He was 11 years old.
Okay. Okay.
No, he was 10 years old.
Okay.
10 years old.
Okay.
And he took a shot. We got into it with the coaches. Anyways, we'll go on. Anyways, about 3 days later, he starts complaining about his ear. So we took him to the doctor and everything, and they said, oh, he had a buildup of earwax, and when he got hit, it went the other way. So they took him off football for about 3 weeks. We took him to the ENT, the specialist and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, he's, you know, they cleared him. They cleared his ear canals, everything. Well, he was misdiagnosed, and he had an infection to the bone in the ear.
Whoa.
And it ended up leading to bacterial meningitis.
Jesus.
Oh,
And the kid, I mean, no 10-year-old should have to be laying on a surgery table to get his head cut open. And they found a blood clot.
Wow.
I mean, right now I'm shaking as I speak about it because it was just something that, I mean, the town that I'm in, I'm right by SAC, I'm in Yuba City. The whole community came together for this kid. I mean, he's a very well and respected kid. It's just really sad to talk about. But the message I'm saying is that if you're going to let your kid play tackle, and believe me, and I think a lot of it too, as I watched, as I was coaching,
mm-hmm.
it's the way these coaches are not being more detailed how to tackle, not to lead with the crown of your helmet. You know, sometimes you get some of those loud bangs, you know, those good pops, and then everybody goes all crazy. But really, that's not the way to tackle. That's not the way that you handle your business on the football field, because not only are you going to hurt somebody, you're going to hurt yourself. I heard Doug talking about neck injuries, because really, as you're starting to get into these, as you get older, and
yeah.
it just gets worse. You know what I mean? So he was taking off everything. They said that he may be paralyzed after the surgery. I mean, me and my wife, obviously, we didn't know what to do. We were just in tears every day. But honestly, the kid has come out of it with flying colors.
Oh, God bless.
He's doing awesome. He just got cleared to play baseball and basketball.
Good.
And you know what the crazy thing about the whole thing is, Doug, is when the doctors told him that he can never play football again, and this is a true story, he wanted a second opinion.
Oh, man. That's.
And he was just devastated. I mean, I watch him sometimes from the – I mean, he's getting over it now. It's been years now.
Yeah.
But he's getting over all of it now. But, I mean, honestly, yeah. I'll sit there sometimes and watch this kid because he has all his game film.
Hey, Rudy.
And he'd love to do that.
We appreciate the story, and we appreciate you listening. Thank you very much.
Hey, have a great day.
Appreciate you.
Let's get to Jim. Hello, Jim. You're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, what's up, guys? Boy, that's hard to follow.
No doubt.
Kids doing better. You know, I used to be the type of guy that was like, oh, they're blowing us all out of proportion. But then I saw that movie, and I also did some research on this guy that Will Smith played.
Yes.
And the elaborate way he explained how many hits the unprotected skull takes from childhood all the way to the professional level and compared it to a ram who has a protected skull was astounding. And it is dangerous. And your guys are right. I don't know if the sport is ever – football the way it was is already gone, and it's going to continue to evolve into something different. But I got to say, I don't know how much I disagree with that because it's dangerous. And look at you, Doug, when on the NBA court, you guys aren't wearing pads, and you're constantly colliding into one another.
No doubt.
You know?
Yes.
And going down on the hard floor sometimes and hitting the back of your head. And it's just – it's something else. And looking at it now, it's like, yeah, it's. I used to stand on the other side of the street and say, nah, whatever. You know, it's protection. They got helmets. But no. This is something real and serious, man. It's crazy.
The more conversations we have, Jim, the closer we're probably going to get to protecting our children.
Please be advised that this is neither a sales nor a solicitation call. We are contacting you in reference to an important matter. Please call us at 1-844-705-4613 as soon as possible. We are open until 11 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time on Saturday.
Gary, you're next on Sports 1140. What's up there, Gary?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Grant? What's up, Doug?
Hey,
I was calling about the CTE, too. Back in the 90s, I played, at the time, it was called 1AA college football, and did a lot of standing on the sidelines. I've never been so glad that I was a backup at the time. Now, looking back. But I seen a friend about 6 months ago who was one of our starters on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen him in about 20 years. And, you know, one of the first things he said to me was, you know, I really think that CTE stuff is real because, you know, it's just a lot of stuff I don't remember. And so, you know, we went out and had a couple of drinks and we were just talking. And throughout the conversation, you know, I would mention something and, you know, just an event that you would think he would remember. He was like, man, I don't remember. And he was one of those guys who he didn't make it to the league. And so he played semi-pro ball after that, you know, and played for about 5 years. So, you know, he was one of those guys that just really loved football. And this guy's a physical therapist now. That's what really kind of trips me out because he was such a smart guy. But there's just so much that he just does not remember. And this was a guy who didn't make it to the pros, and it's real.
Wow. Thank you for sharing, Gary. Yep. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. We are going to take the time out, and we'll be right back on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Grant. After hearing the news today, I think we finally got some answers to the Aaron Hernandez story, and it kind of shows you no matter how much money you have, if you don't have your health, it really doesn't mean anything. So I guess my question is, in your guys' opinion, you know, Doug being a sports athlete and you being a sports commentator, in the next 20 years, will the NFL still be followed as it is today, or will there ever, or will there be no NFL at all?
There will be an NFL.
Yeah, I think there will be as well, Ron. I just don't think it will be the NFL as we know it. And you bring up something, Ron, and I was going to throw this to Grant once we were off your call. But, you know, Grant, what I think is going to end up happening is there's going to be a sub-league that comes along. They tried it back in the day, and that sub-league is going to be that old-school football. You see it in wrestling. They got WWE and NXT. You got UFC. You got boxing. You got different things. And if you're not the target audience for that particular product, there's going to be someplace else for you to go if you want roughneck type of football. It wasn't able to last in years past because the NFL was so big, Grant.
I'll tell you something else that it cannot be ignored, and this is only scratching the surface, so understand where I'm coming with this. There are many, 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 more than not, former NFL players that are living unbelievably healthy lives.
Yes.
And living a normal lifespan, okay? When you're talking about head injury and CTE, my question is, okay, was the individual someone that took narcotics?
Mm.
Were they a habitual pot smoker? Were they taking this or were they taking that? And if so, how did the brain react getting hit when it was also under
altered state?
Correct.
Yep.
And so all of these things need to be, through science, determined. And that's not going to happen for a while.
No, that is going to take a massive – but that's what's going on right now. But the troubling thing for us as human beings, Grant, is it takes 10 years. It takes 15 years to go through the test to look back and see how that happened and what was the result of it. Because you make a valuable point. What if – like, for instance, I talk about performance enhancers. I always think Advil was a performance enhancer.
Yeah, you
because
told me that.
I would get out of my car and I'd be like, oh, my God. Right. I'd pop four Advil and I'd fly around the court like no one's business for the next 4 hours. I'd get back in my car and I'd get out at home and go, oh, my God. So what does that do to my joints? That in the ability for the receptors, pain receptors in my body, Grant, to say no, 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 and then me to override it. And then go ahead with it. You make a valuable point.
Well, and again, I'm only using this as an example. When you talk about the impact of substances, we hear about this all the time. Newborns whose, you know, mom was an alcoholic or a drug user, and that particular individual is born already with, I don't know what the adjective to
propensity to.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And so when I hear CTE, it's not just you got hit on the head and you became a violent person. That's not really accurate, okay? I want to find out the lifestyle of this individual as well.
Yes. Now, all those things take into consideration. And the more of the palette that you can begin to put all the colors in, obviously the picture is going to become more clear. And right now, as much information as we think – you just mentioned it, Grant – as much information as we think that we have – in 60 months from now, we're going to be going, we didn't know anything. And that's going to continue to happen as we go through this. And the fact that a powerful movie like the one that Will Smith was in, those type of things get out. And that made the NFL open up litigation and a lot of different things for them to open up and face the fact that we may have a problem here and we need to deal with it.
All right. We are talking a lot of things, NFL. By the way, you weren't here when I was talking about this yesterday with Matt Barrows, who does a great job for the Sacramento Bee covering the 49ers.
Yes.
For the third game in a row, a guy that you and I were fortunate enough to talk in studio for a half hour one day from Sacramento, Akello Witherspoon, this is the third game of the season where he has been in street clothes watching the game, once again inactive for the game, has not even put a uniform on.
Yeah, that just goes to show, Grant, the competitiveness. And he mentioned when he was here with us, incredible conversation, that, you know, is he going to be a guy that bumps at the line and a lot of different things? Those are going to be things that are learned. And as I study this more and more, the NFL technique, a lot of different things. You look at Dez Bryant right now, he's getting criticized because they're saying he doesn't know the whole route tree. All he knows is to be big and strong and knock people out of the way, and that isn't enough. So technique. And a lot of different things. You know, we're wishing Akilo all the success, though.
All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We've got college football going on as well tonight. Charlie Strong in South Florida. They are ranked 21st in the country, and they lead 10-0 on a little Thursday night college game. And then, of course, Not a real good Saturday in college football. Sunday, the Raiders, a game you can hear right here on Sports 1140 Sunday night. They'll be in Washington. Of course, Sunday night here on the West Coast means 5:30. And then on Monday, we'll have the Cowboys at Arizona. Now, Doug and I, on Monday at 3 o'clock, we will be at the Kings practice facility.
Yep.
And Media Day, we'll be out there from 3 to 5.
You know, Grant, when you look at this NFL schedule this weekend, week three, besides obviously your Giants and me, besides my Seahawks, is there a game that you're interested in that you just look at and go, you know, this is going to be an interesting one, I'm going to check it out?
Yeah, I think that there's always games every week that I look at and I say, okay, you know what, that's a game that I want to watch. And yeah, I think there are a lot of duds this week, but there are also some very interesting games. And one of the games that really intrigues me is Atlanta at Detroit. I want to find out if Detroit's for real or not. I think we're going to find out this week.
That was the one I was trending towards as well, because being 2-0 in Detroit, obviously what you're seeing in the Falcons, 2-0 as well. I was guilty of this, Grant. With them going and what happened to them in the Super Bowl, Atlanta, you're thinking, okay, they're going to have a hangover. You lose your offensive coordinator. Sarkisian steps in. He looks to be doing a great job. This is going to be an interesting one. And when you look at Detroit, are they real? This is a lot of stuff that we saw last year, because they kept coming back in the fourth quarter and all those different things. And they could have been, you know, 10-6, or you could have been 6-10.
And there were two other teams that I have my eye on. One, and the reason for that is both these teams are 0-2, and both are playing divisional games. And if both these teams lose, their season is done. One, the Chargers. They're at home against Kansas City. If they lose, they're done. They're not.
Yeah.
The Giants are in Philadelphia. If the Giants lose and they go 0-3, I'm just telling you right now, there's going to be a domino effect that is going to be nasty beyond belief. So these two games, to me, both teams, New York and the Chargers, are fighting already in the month of September for their entire NFL season.
I want to say it's three teams. I believe I heard that correctly.
No, but it's those two teams that I can't, because they're divisional games.
Yes.
Kansas City and L.A. and the Giants and the Eagles. Those are the two I've got my eye on.
Oh, yeah. But there's been three teams in the history of the NFL that have started off 0-3 and made the playoffs.
That's correct.
It's something that does not happen. And you mentioned divisional games. Those are huge, because especially for the Chargers, they're in a division where everyone else is undefeated.
That's right.
Oh, man.
And whereas, as bad as the Giants have looked, they're only a game out of first.
Yes.
And this is a divisional game. So if, and I'm not saying they're going to win, if they were able to win, they're feeling real good about themselves, and they're right back in the mix of things.
And I will say this for the Giants. I expect that they play better than they played last week. I would expect that. I don't know that. When I look at the Chargers, again, they had an opportunity to win it and missed a field goal. The week before that, they had an opportunity. So they constantly shoot themselves in the foot.
All right. We'll take the time out. We'll be right back on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier with you. You're off tomorrow, right?
Yes, I am, all right. Sir.
All right. So I will go solo, and I'll figure it out.
Oh, you got this, man.
I struggled yesterday when you left.
Sure you did. I'll ask Link next time we're on. Was the interview messed up, Link? What?
You know, Link, of course he's going to tell you the interview was messed up.
I'm surprised he didn't FedEx you a cigar, and both of you guys are smoking on air or something.
Well, he's going to be he's got a long weekend ahead of him as he travels to and from D.C. from the West Coast, and You know, you were talking about the schedule this week, week three in the NFL, which is underway right now, and the Niners and the Rams are tied at 7. But Baltimore is at Jacksonville. Let me rephrase that. Baltimore and Jacksonville play over in London. Denver is at Buffalo. Do you know, you want to know how messed up London is? Not the city, not the country, not London, England, but the situation with the NFL. Do you know that this game's not even being televised?
Shush.
No,
come
it's
on.
Not.
It's Are great. You serious?
You got to watch it. Chris, what is it? What's the term? You can stream it?
I think it's on Yahoo.
It's on what?
Yahoo.
What the hell is, what do I got to do to watch a game on Yahoo? What the
Go
hell
to Yahoo.com.
I'm not watching any game on Yahoo.com, all right?
Come on.
I'll tell you right now, I'll go to Yahoo.com before I go to Yahoo.com to watch a game.
Well, you know.
Let's understand where we're getting here, okay? The National Football League.
Yes.
Well, kind of the National Football League. It is Jacksonville. But Baltimore is the National Football League. The game is not on television.
What's the total of wins between those two teams?
Well, Baltimore's 2-0.
2-0. That's the okay. So they're 2-0. But I'm saying, why do they always take Jacksonville? It's not a good.
Yeah, Jacksonville beat Houston 29-7
in
week 1.
Yeah, but it's not a good showing in England for the product.
Let me tell you something. You know how I feel about playing these games in London. It's a disgrace. All right. It's an absolute joke. So you got Baltimore and Jacksonville, and the game is not even on TV.
It says 6:30.
It's on Yahoo. Yahoo.com.
A bunch of Yahoos on Yahoo. I have a question for you.
What's that?
Because you're talking about out of the country. What are the chances that that Raiders game that's going to be in Mexico City with all of that that's going on
comes
back?
Too early to tell. A lot depends on the structure of the stadium, the hotels that they're staying at, and how quickly the city of Mexico City can rebound. The other thing that the NFL is cognizant of is the economic impact to this city of Mexico City. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to take that away from them unless they feel that their players and their personnel are at any type of safety risks.
If it does get taken away, since it is a Raiders home game.
It would be in Oakland.
It would be in Oakland. Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah, I would think, well, obviously they probably won't have anything at the Coliseum baseball.
No, there's no baseball. It will be fine. It will be fine. They'll have that. But the point I'm trying to make is it's September 21st. The game's in, what, November?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously they would.
I got to believe they're going to. And again, unless the stadium, which I'm waiting to hear a full report, you know, from the engineers there. If there's an issue with the stadium, then it's a no-brainer. They're not playing there.
Yeah, and Azteca Stadium is iconic down there,
yes.
So they will take care of that. But the point is, there's bigger fish to fry with taking care of the people of Mexico as opposed
Listen,
to—
Listen, there are people right now under rubble that are still alive.
Come on.
That they're trying— Yeah, exactly. Come on, you know?
Yeah. So that's a problem they will have to solve, though.
All right. Denver's at Buffalo. That game, by the way, is on TV. Pittsburgh at Chicago. That game's on TV. They're all on TV except for one game in London.
It's streaming on.
You know what?
What's it streaming on, Grant?
Yahoo.com. Give me a Yahoo.
A Yahoo, Grant. Yahoo.
Oh, Yahoo.
Yes.
I was thinking of that chocolate drink. Give me a Yahoo.
I think it's a search engine, Grant. That's what you call it.
Atlanta at Detroit.
Okay.
Indianapolis home against Cleveland. Minnesota home to Tampa. Houston at New England. Miami at the Jets. Giants are in Philly. Saints are at Carolina. Seattle's at Tennessee. Green Bay home to Cincy. Wonder if Cincinnati will score a touchdown this week. Kansas City at Los Angeles. Sunday night, Oakland, Washington. Monday night, Dallas at Arizona. That is your week three schedule in the NFL. The Rams leading the 49ers 14-7. There's already more points scored in the first quarter than I thought was going to be scored the whole game. Go figure.
This is true. They're going to put up some points. I don't know how many points are in this game, but it's going to be a whoa. The Browns and the Colts, and Andrew Luck still no practicing, Grant.
No, that's a bad situation.
Would you sit him all year?
I don't know what the severity of his injury is in terms of—
Even so, he's your franchise.
No,
man.
If he's
Make
able to
sure
play, I would play him.
Well,
no, you don't sit people if they're able to play in the NFL. If you don't feel that a player is going to, you know, do any significant harm with an injury, no, you play him.
Well, last time they played him, didn't he get a lacerated kidney? Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Protect the guy.
It's called the National Football League.
This is true. Not for long.
And they've looked, you know, again, they didn't look bad against the Cardinals. They lost in overtime. But they got the Browns coming up this week. All right. We have 1 hour left. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. And again, 14-7, the Rams in front of the 49ers. We'll take your phone calls, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.